Hi everyone, Irit Ezips here for CSM Practice, the customer success strategy consulting firm. So today I'm going to have a fabulous discussion about onboarding metrics with the one and only Bree Petschy from Churn Zero. And if anybody should know anything about this topic, it's her, because what she does for Churn Zero is onboarding customers. Well, you're not really onboarding customers. Maybe you should tell them what you do.
I do CS enablement for Churn Zero. So not necessarily doing all of the onboarding, but putting a lot of the strategy and the metrics and the resources behind how we actually manage customers from onboarding to renewal and beyond.
Exactly. And so today you're not going to share everything, like all of your expertise and experience, but rather we're going to focus on a very specific and very important topic within the onboarding phase, which is how do we track that our customers are onboarding successfully, their health during onboarding, and what type of metrics do we as customer success organization actually need to track when we onboard customers? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with all of that knowledge, information, expertise, and examples of dashboards and other things you definitely don't want to miss out on. Bree, you talk to customer success leaders all the time, being that you work at Churn Zero and you do enablement for onboarding for Churn Zero. So you get a lot of exposure of what is going on in the industry. Have you seen a recent push in actually getting better at tracking onboarding metrics? And if so, what are like the main changes that you've seen in the market towards onboarding recently?
I think onboarding metrics overall have become a hot topic over the last year, even more because it is known that onboarding, it sets the tone for a customer's entire life cycle. And customer retention, churn prevention, all of those efforts start at the very beginning. So as soon as a customer signs a contract and onboarding kicks off, retention should be underway. So in order to do that, and in order to really manage this process well, you need strong metrics to track during that process. They're going to be really important, I would say, for two main reasons. One is to identify the successes and potential risks for a specific customer early on. We need it for that customer, but it's also important because these metrics will inform the efficiency and efficacy of an onboarding process, and it identifies those opportunities for optimization. So those two themes really are, every time I talk about a metric, they're going to come up. When we talk about each metric, how is it useful for an individual customer so that CSMs can drive adoption, drive retention, but also how is it useful for someone on the CS leadership team or the ops team when they design and refine the onboarding journey as a whole?
As you work with so many teams, what have you seen those metrics that are most predominantly being tracked as it pertains to customer onboarding process?
Tracking onboarding metrics, the key that I just want to start out with here is that it's really important to track customer progress as opposed to just your internal process. So when I speak with customers, almost everyone already tracks their internal tasks and their progress. And yes, of course, that is critical to the customer getting through this journey, but your internal team could be doing everything right and still not see those tangible results on the customer side.
I want to say you're absolutely right. Most of the applications we have for onboarding are for how many hours did we spend on onboarding, where we are with the project plan, are we meeting the SOW statement of work requirements? They're really internal to what we need to achieve and what we, how do we manage profitability in onboarding? Is that what you're alluding to?
Exactly. And I think it's a common mistake to only look at that. That's a part of the equation. But when we start to talk about meaningful onboarding metrics, I think there's really three important pillars, and it's on the customer side of things. So something like customer commitment to your solution. So things like spending time in your application, exploring the full capabilities. It's customer engagement with your team. So this varies between high and low touch models, but it includes things like leveraging the CSM, utilizing self-service resources, learning and leaning on the support team. And then also, the most important one is the impact your solution has on the customer's business outcomes. A lot of people overlook this in onboarding because they say, well, they're just getting set up. It's too soon. But we need to start tracking it during onboarding. And the time it takes to realize that impact is also very important.
So time to first value and whether or not first value was delivered.
Definitely. So I would say about 2/3 of the teams I work with do a really good job of tracking some of the customer commitment and customer engagement things I talked about, but they don't take it to that next level, the time to value. Is your customer using the tool in the way they intended to when they purchased it? But not only that, are they seeing the results and the value from that usage? So we need to look at that time to value, but also confirm that it matches the intent there.
You're breaking it out to two categories. One, it's the usage of the solution, and the other one is the level of engagement, but also are they engaged towards reaching their outcome? So maybe we can dive into those two categories and you can break them down for me a little bit.
Absolutely. Let's start with the usage piece because there are a lot of powerful indicators there. And when we look at usage during onboarding, I think we need to look at both the general usage and then usage related to customer specific goals. So we do a lot of this tracking in Churn Zero, and we use our own application to do that. So I actually have a sample dashboard here that I'm going to use as I talk about some of these metrics so you can get a sense for some of the visuals and layout options. So this dashboard has a lot of key onboarding metrics. And when we look at in-app behavior, something I want to point out is that the best metrics are going to be those based off of your actual data. So something here that you can see is our time in app. We want to make sure that customers are spending time in the app. We're looking at least 5 hours a week, but you can't just pick a number and say, oh, you know, if my customer spends 5 hours a week in my app, that's ideal. You need to have informed metrics. So look at the full cohort and that history. Compare a customer's time in app and set that threshold compared to customers in the same onboarding journey, both past and present. So now when we have an informed metric, an informed threshold of at least 5 hours a week, we can see where this customer is compared to similar customers. We know if they're a super adopter, a lagger, or right on track.
I see a bunch of names, and some of these names have a much higher usage. So is this dashboard for a specific customer?
This is a holistic view. This would be something that an operations team or an onboarding manager or even a chief customer officer could look at. What this is showing is a group of all of the accounts in onboarding. We've got 68 customers in onboarding right now. And then it's also very helpful, right, to see how many each of our reps has.
So these are your customer success managers or sales reps or onboarding managers?
Yep, these are our onboarding specialists. So we're breaking these out here so that we can see different loads. Now, we definitely know, right, contextually, that we've got some people who are just finishing up a lot of implementations and waiting on the next sales cycle, maybe someone like Brian. We also know that our tenured team member over here who does some of our more self-service onboardings is going to have a lot more. So this is going to be a great way to see people's load and make sure we're actually assigning onboarding correctly.
Okay, so this is more on the inside view. You have, though, a couple of stuff here, like a couple of graphs here that are very much related to usage that you talked about before. I think those two are really interesting. The first one is the feature adoption for business goal. So not only, you know, did they adopt X number of features, but actually did they adopt the features related to the business goals that they conveyed to you?
Yes, exactly. And when we talk about specific feature usage, I always recommend two layers to that. So like you said, overall feature usage and completion, but then taking it to that business goal. That is so important. A customer can look wonderful down here because they have done the admin account setup. They've configured everything. They've used your feature and sent an email campaign first if you're an email provider. And I think the important things to look at here once again are, of course, data-based. What do your successful customers do in their first month? Let's set that threshold. Same thing with usage patterns among the unsuccessful customers or churned customers. What did their early usage look like? They were spending perhaps less than 5 hours a week in the app. Perhaps they got access and did not log in right away. So we're able to really look at these and identify some of those general trends that we know may trend toward unsuccessful launch or churn. But like I said, you still at the end of the day need to look at these business outcomes. You need to track a reason for purchase and do goal setting up front to determine, is the customer using the features that align with the value they're looking for? We're able to then track how each customer is progressing. I think a very big thing here is not just when we think about on track and off track, not just are they using that feature, but do they actually get value? Not just the action, it's the value gained from the action. So for example, I'm here, I'm an email provider. And a customer's feature usage might look positive because they were hoping to extend their outreach and they're sending 10,000 emails a week in their first couple of weeks. But if I dig in and I see that their click rates or open rates are poor, ultimately that customer is realizing pretty little value from the product. So it's critical to look at the full picture, right? We should be logging these success stories and business goals and visualizing them so that we can report on and communicate the need or value, you know, for this customer.
You talk about logging success. Can you expand on that? How is that related to tracking usage?
I think there's an opportunity for a little bit of automation in here as well. At Churn Zero, for instance, we have a series of alerts as well as customer-based achievements that we track. And so it is all automated. We look for different successes achieved. So in the case of an email provider, launched a campaign and then had over X percent open rate. We can then track that and fire an alert or complete an achievement for this customer, which can automatically notify your team. And we can use that to then determine if this was a successful action, a successful use of this feature, or if it was unsuccessful. And then we can use that opportunity to show, actually, we're a little off track here. And again, use that individually with the customer in a coaching session. Also, leadership can use that to think about, how do we provide more coaching up front so that people don't hit this silo and they're successful off the bat? A lot of what we're seeing here is not only for the specific customer, but to make sure that we're optimizing everything
for future journey. And by the way, those of you who don't know what Churn Zero software is all about, it's essentially, it's a wonderful tool. It's one of the predominant solutions in the industry for customer success. It helps subscription companies fight churn. It's a software solution that helps customers understand their products, assess the health of their customers, the likelihood to renew, to personalize their experience with you, and just really manage the customer journey through like timely and relevant touch points. So if you want to check them out, I'm going to include the link below. Bree, you also mentioned another category. So we talked about usage category. And what was the other category of metrics for onboarding that you definitely recommend those who manage the onboarding phase to track?
Absolutely. That would be engagement. Engagement and the customer's willingness and excitement to engage with you and your solution at the beginning of their term is critical. So I have another sample dashboard generated through Churn Zero here, and it's going to look similar. But we're looking at a couple of extra metrics now, specifically around engagement. And I want to call out here that I know engagement looks very different from company to company during onboarding. Even within a company, different segments of customers certainly have different expectations for engagement depending on tier or product. But engagement should be measured whether you are on the highest of high touch models or lowest of low touch. It's just that the things you are tracking are going to be a little bit different.
So the main change from the other dashboard is that portion right in the middle with additional, what do you call them, widgets or how do you call them?
Widgets, exactly. I'm going to dig into all of these because they represent some of our really big pillars here. And I think things that every team can really track, if not track their equivalent. And so one is going to be CSM engagement. So for the individual customer, it's very important to make sure we're tracking their commitment to you and your solution. Engagement levels are typically some of the highest at onboarding across the board. They are excited. They need your expertise. So if they're not engaging with you right off the bat at the cadence you have set, that's going to be a red flag. And this is absolutely something that your team needs to be focusing on. And perhaps an individual CSM needs to get involved with. Also beneficial here, though, because when we start to track CSM engagement, we can definitely look at the full picture and determine, you know, which interactions are very meaningful versus what might be repetitive. How many customers do we have that are foregoing a certain call throughout the process? Is there a better use of time and a better way to share resources? Support is a big one as well. And I think this applies to people no matter their type of model when it comes to onboarding. Unhealthy support engagement here, it sounds vague, but really that's because it's a bit of a compilation of a few factors. It's looking at support tickets and it's looking at volume.
So how many support tickets times, so how many per week?
Yep, we are definitely looking at the volume of tickets on a weekly basis. So how many tickets are they submitting? We also look at this in a 30-day period. Now, there is going to be a certain level of support engagement that is healthy.
How do you come up with a benchmark? How do you decide what's healthy and what's not?
It's very data-based. There's a lot of analysis that goes into this, whether that be around Excel, through dashboards, we can actually put out an entire spread of customers in onboarding journeys and how many tickets are average. So again, you don't want to pick something at random. We need to be informed. And I will say that while the numbers vary between everyone I work with, what's consistent is that zero tickets is typically negative. If they're not asking the questions, that is still a red flag. But above a certain threshold, let's say 10 in 30 days, more than 10 tickets in 30 days, is then a sign that your admin doesn't have enough early knowledge or comfort with the platform. And a lot of times, if you're working with the admin on setup and rollout, how can we expect that admin to then train their team in champion usage if they themselves can't work through the basics? When we talk about unhealthy engagement, it's on both sides of the coin, underutilization of support and overutilization. And your threshold should be found within your data.
Gotcha. So you're looking at support and technical issue engagements. You're looking at, are they engaged with the CSM, assuming that they're a strategic customer? And then I see the third one is, you know, are they taking the training? Are they taking the time to learn the solution?
Exactly. For this example, we're talking about training, right? So a lot of people have learning management systems with training modules and track course completion there. So that's a great option. And I certainly want to make sure that most of my customers are getting through that. We're able to track, are they learning what they need to learn? Or are they missing key content? Are they now missing items and tips and tricks that they should know at this point in time. On this front, though, there are a lot of things that can go into resource engagement. So yes, training courses are a big part of that, but it could be knowledge-based engagement with your help guides. This could be overall white paper downloads on how to best set up your system. So even if you don't have these formalized training courses that you track, you should still be tracking those resources, especially anything that is self-service, and make sure that every customer is getting this content. And if someone's consistently missing content, or every customer, half of your customers are not completing trainings or not hitting this article, what is that barrier? There's got to be a barrier here, right? So now, again, taking something to evolve a process is identify those barriers and improve accessibility and distribution.
You know, one would say that during onboarding, as part of the engagement, we want to know if the engagement itself was valuable to the customer, because we do want to add massive value, not just from our solution, but from our own partnership with the vendor. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. That is by far something that we need to put into account. So I think it leads into a bigger question of the customer's perception is really critical here. I could have a customer on this dashboard that looks perfect on paper, but if the customer doesn't feel it was successful or valuable, then none of that really matters. Ideally, in a perfect world, when this is set up right, both the metrics and the customer's perception of their onboarding experience is going to match, good or bad. Also, a good CS team is really proactively communicating milestones, acknowledging issues, celebrating wins along the way. So these should be very in sync. There should be an open feedback loop, but we always need to confirm that these measures match. And whether that be for meetings or for something like we've completed onboarding, let's measure satisfaction overall, we do need to get the customer's opinion. And in the name of automation, in the name of streamlining things, in the name of making sure that everything is as efficient as possible, I recommend automated surveys throughout onboarding.
Let's talk about that, because I have a lot of customers that ask me, what are best practices for surveys? Should we send out the survey at the end of onboarding? But if my onboarding is taking a really long time, should I also survey them in the middle of onboarding? What do you think about that?
I've got a lot of thoughts on that. And like you said, it definitely does matter how long your onboarding process is. So if you know for a fact that your customers are all getting done in 30 days, it is a 30-day process and then they go live. That is definitely a use case for an end of onboarding survey. You could send NPS. That's a common one. I would say in onboarding too, even more common is customer satisfaction score. So how satisfied were you with this process? Or even a customer effort score. How difficult was this? Or how easy was this? How much work was it on your end? And always getting those measurements at the end of onboarding. Now, you take Churn Zero, for instance. There's a lot of data set up, and then you do your configuration setup, your workflow setup. It's not just 30 days. And there are key phases. We have key milestones within an onboarding. We've got technical implementation. We've got our tool and workflow configuration. And then we've got our training and go live. There should then be a survey at each point. So I would almost recommend three surveys there. One for technical implementation. One for how did you feel we supported you throughout your own setup. And then one for your live. How did everything go? It will always be important, though, to avoid over-surveying.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Hot damn. Three surveys in one onboarding phase. Let's suppose we did that. How do you recommend avoiding survey fatigue? Do you ask like one or two questions? That's it? Because we know companies love having like 30, 40 questions in each survey. So
when we do onboarding surveys and most surveys, I feel very strongly that they should be short and sweet. So give me your answer, say it's your NPS, and then give me the comment, why? Let's ask you why you gave that score. So very short and sweet. And what I will say is that it should always be milestone-based. So you completed part one, right? We present in our onboarding experience, yes, you're in onboarding for this length of time, but you've actually got distinct phases. So it's all about framing. You definitely want to make sure you are framing a phase for the customer and they are aware of when they complete one aspect and move on to another.
Great. So now you have all these touch points, you automated them with a survey, you get the results, and that feeds the engagement score and the satisfaction score and the value score that the customer might have as a perceived notion around your onboarding phase, all accumulating into very important metrics that we all should track for customer onboarding.
Exactly. And now you've got that full picture. You're able to see how they're using the tool. You're able to see if they're meeting success thresholds, if they're realizing value and actually getting to their goals. And you're able to see if they are engaged and satisfied. And so this is going to definitely give you that picture, course correct during onboarding, and also ensure you know how to help them once onboarding has been wrapped up.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of metrics. How do you centralize all of that? Do you put it in like a health onboarding health score? What do you do with it? Because it's a lot of metrics, right?
It is a lot of metrics. And the best way to do this is going to be through a customer journey and a customer health score. The customer journey, though, this is something we do in Churn Zero. And I'll actually show you what a journey looks like within Churn Zero. Here is an example of a journey. So I know it looks like a lot of steps, but this is your whole map of the customer lifecycle, right? You'll notice it's broken out into milestones. This is something I mentioned. We need these milestones that then underneath of that have all of the to-dos. And something I want to point out is we talked a lot about in the beginning, internal process versus customer progress. We break out all of the tasks and assign those to our team members, but then also these super important customer progress achievements. So these are those achievements, right, where they're completing certain things. And even beyond this, we can expand upon this user setup and training and start to look at those really important usage metrics and features that they need to be adopting.
So essentially, you're highlighting the value moments in the customer journey, as well as the internal steps that we need to take in order to help them achieve them.
Exactly. This is your holistic view. And now I can easily benchmark customer onboardings, identify people who potentially are deviating from the prescribed plan for success, right? We've got this awesome Gantt chart that tells me when everything's due and when a customer begins to fall behind. And this is my view for an individual account, but we've got a really big aggregate level view we can look at. And that's where you're going to be able to catch bottlenecks and snags and improve time to value for future customers. Definitely eliminate those barriers and use your data to figure out the correct flow and the correct timing.
So do you recommend having an onboarding health score and then change that health score's criteria and factors once go live is complete?
Yes. I cannot stress that enough, how important it is to have a specific health score for customers in onboarding. Customers in onboarding are not doing the same things as your live customers. They're just not. Their usage is going to look very different. And there are specific things that we know must be done that we need to track and incorporate. So with the onboarding health score, you must have things like their progress. Are they on track? What's their time to completion look like? Of course, those are general. But then digging into everything we just talked about, everything you saw on that dashboard needs to be in your health score, because that's going to give you that really good roll-up metric in one unified place. It's really great to dig into the individual aspects. Again, when we're trying to get a customer back on track, or when we're trying to refine our journey. But when we just need to look at the aggregate metric here and see a summary of how this customer is doing, you need that onboarding health score that reflects this journey we're looking at, that reflects the early indicators of customer product usage, the customer engagement with your team and resources, and most importantly and most heavily weighted, the value the customer has realized or is on track to realizing based on their goals.
So awesome. Like such a comprehensive perspectives on customer onboarding metrics. I feel like we just touched on a lot of these things. If somebody wanted to kind of dive in a little bit more, learn more about the topic, Bree, you live and breathe this topic as the enablement person for the onboarding at Churn Zero. What do you recommend? Where should people go to learn more about, you know, customer onboarding metrics and customer onboarding in general?
So our website, which we've linked here, is full of resources, but my main recommendation, check out our ebook. It's called How to Crush SaaS Customer Onboarding. It's really about the onboarding process as a whole, but it has a really valuable section at the beginning with metrics. So what should you track? What should you stop tracking because it's not that meaningful? And it's a really good read. It talks about some of those things that we hit on today, focusing on the customer and their progress and their perception. And actually, we have a few tips from you in this ebook.
I think I see my picture there. And I was like, yeah, I remember when we did that. Yeah, that's cool. Definitely check that out.
Yeah, we've got some quotes from you, some advice. I actually even think a couple on onboarding metric and some things around the necessity of focusing on the customer.
That's so awesome. Bree, thank you so much. I'm sure there's like a ton of other resources on your website that folks should just check out. I know one of my customers actually became a churn zero. I mean, many of my customers became a churn zero customer, but one of them actually had a conversation. He was just blown away by how much he learned through the onboarding process about customer success in general. And he showed me a couple of the collateral that you sent him about like how to set up a customer health score. And I was like, wow, I was super impressed. Kudos for that. I think you walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
I appreciate that. And I think that's something that I am so proud of about Churn Zero is that we have some top-notch CS professionals here that, you know, not only come to us so talented and so wise, but like you said, they kind of talk the talk, walk the walk all day. They spend their day immersing themselves in CS best practices. They get to know everyone's perspective and new things as they emerge. So yes, we've got a lot of resources. We certainly make sure that our customers know everything that we do in terms of CS secrets.